This study on the I Am sayings of Jesus is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by SpiritandTruth.org. Pastor Paul Hennebury of Agape Bible Church will be our teacher. It is our prayer that our time together will deepen your understanding of the Bible and allow you to draw closer in your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's begin our time of study with Dr. Hennebury.
John 14, we'll be looking at verse 6, but let's take the run up there. We'll go from verse 1 so that we get the context. It's really important that we understand that this is about encouragement in the midst of some kind of devastating news. Here's the news in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, or houses. If it were not so, would I not have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way and where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, Jesus here is telling them that he's going away, he's departing. He's been with them for three and a half years, maybe 4 years. We're not really sure exactly what the duration was, but it wasn't really very long. If you're anything like me, I know this happens when you get older, but 10 years ago doesn't seem like 10 years ago to me. 2008 doesn't seem like 10 years ago to me. It seems like about 4 or 5 years ago to me. Is that the same for you?
Yes.
Okay, you younger people, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like 20 years. But as you get older, that's what happens, you see. And especially when these years are packed with intensity and experiences and different things that you're going through, new things that you're discovering, amazing things that you might be seeing. And certainly there were never 3 or 3.5 years more packed with unusual and amazing things than those years that these privileged few experienced when they walked with Jesus. And they saw everything that he did, and they heard his words. How amazing to have been one of those people. Now, it's coming to an end. Now, he's telling them that he has to depart. And that's what these chapters, from chapter 14 to chapter 17, they're all about that. It's the upper room, and it has to do with Jesus letting them know that he's about to go, to leave them. They had left everything for him. They had turned their backs on their ways of life, on doing things, the people that they knew, the houses and so on. They were fully engaged on the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's going. I mean, they had come to understand very clearly that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the Christ. And the Old Testament told them that the Messiah would come and would set up his kingdom upon the earth, and Israel would be blessed once again. What is this message from the Messiah saying he's leaving? It's not just the only place that this happens. You see the same thing in Luke 19 and so on, where he tells it in a parable. But this passage is kind of special to our hearts because it is so intimate. And Jesus says that he must go. He's going to, and later on in the passage, talk about the fact that unless he goes, the Holy Spirit will not come. So it's advantageous, in a sense, for him to go. And that doesn't seem easy to accept either, because what is without any derogation to the Holy Spirit, who is here and is with us and empowers us and gives us hope and will raise us one day. Still, we can't, as Jesus himself said, we can't see the Spirit, we can't really feel the Spirit. He does what he wants in his operations. He reveals Christ, he reveals the Father to us, he reveals his word to us. He does all of these things, but he does them in a quiet, unassuming way, does he not? It's difficult to prefer that to a ministry where you're actually seeing the Son of God perform miracles, deal with the Pharisees. You're hearing his voice. You're hearing the teachings of God. You're hearing the message from heaven to earth, yourself. You're in contact with heaven because you're in contact with the Son of God, with the Messiah, this promised one. So how is it advantageous that he go? Well, because Jesus can only be in one place at one time as a human being, fully incarnated as one of us. But the Holy Spirit is worldwide. The Holy Spirit is doing a work and has been doing a work for 2,000 years. And we will see the culmination of that work once he has finished his work in us. And that would be, I really think we will be surprised by the population of heaven. No, I'm not saying, please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you get saved apart from Jesus. You don't. And that's going to be made very clear in this passage. But how many people? The population of heaven. And the love that is between them. The affection that there is between them, because we're all part of that one family. That's a wonderful thing, and that's the Holy Spirit's work. But they have to face Jesus leaving. And it's hard to interpret these words from their point of view as encouraging words. But they are encouraging words. Jesus, this is the voice of God, the voice of the truth. Let not your hearts be troubled because I'm going away. You believe in God. You believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Now the Greek word can be translated rooms. It's sometimes translated mansions. Don't get carried away with the translation there. The point of the matter is that there is enough room, there is enough wonder, there's enough of heaven and there's enough of the kingdom and glory for you and I to be completely satisfied with. Well, here's good news. If I go away and prepare a place for you, so he's going to do that, he's going to do some work for us, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. That's a message of hope. It's a message of hope. Unless he goes, unless he does that work, unless he does that preparation, we don't have a fitting place to go to. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? I mean, it would be nice just to kind of step out of this life and into heaven. And heaven surely will be wonderful in and of itself, and that's true. So what do you think it's going to be like if he's been working on suitable accommodations, suitable environment for us? Do you see? That shows that it's not just I've come to take you to where I am, take you to glory, but I'm actually doing something in glory to make sure that when you come, Everything's furnished. Everything's right for you. Just as in the beginning, in the creation, everything was made right for the first couple, and then they were made and given dominion over the earth. In the same way, Christ is making accommodations for us in glory. Now, please understand that this is a little bit of theology for you, and it's important that we understand this. The teaching of the Bible is not that we just, at the second coming, we all get whisked off to heaven and we're in heaven for eternity. Okay? That's not the teaching of the Bible. The teaching of the Bible is if you, first of all, if you die, if you fall asleep before the second coming of Christ, your soul goes to heaven. Okay? But also the fact that that when Jesus comes back, he comes back to this earth as a king. He comes back to rule this earth, and we are there with him. And then, after that short period of 1,000 years that he reigns, because it is a short period in God's eyes, then heaven comes to earth. The preparation that Christ has been working on, it comes to earth, to the new earth. You see? And this is the sphere of man's fellowship with God eternally. But that's, we dealt with that when we looked at the Old Testament prophecies on Wednesday night. That is the teaching of Scripture. A lot more to it, but that's basically what it is. So don't think that what he's saying here is just we all go to heaven and we're there eternally. Okay, heaven will eventually come to earth. It doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, at the end of the day. But Jesus is going to heaven, and he will make us, and has made us, citizens of heaven. But verse 4 is kind of an unusual verse. You know the way to where I am going. Jesus knew that that was going to bring about the response that it did. And Thomas is not the only one who was thinking this. The other disciples were thinking this too. It's just that Thomas is used as the mouthpiece to say, well, we don't know where you're going, so how do we know the way? It's we, not just I, we, okay? And if I'd have been there, I'd have been saying the same thing. And you would have been thinking the same thing, wouldn't you? Jesus deliberately did that. He deliberately put that thought into the disciples' minds in order to inspire their faith in him. Even though he's going away, faith brings him near. Faith holds on to the reality, which is a bigger reality than what we see and feel. Jesus, we don't see him. We don't hear his voice, although some people are blind to now. But we don't hear his voice. Jesus has gone into heaven. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit now. But don't think that the tie between you and him is any less strong than if he'd be right here standing in front of you. You know the way. Well, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Good question. Here's the answer. This is our verse. I am the way. I am the way. And so this is our first point, and this is the I suppose the major emphasis here, because it's the answer to the question. The other two items, the truth and the life, they come and they support this one here. and they say something about it. But this is the most important thing. I am the way. It is not that Jesus responds, you know the way because I told you that it's this way. You just head off that way. Okay, follow the signposts and you'll get there. Follow the yellow brick road, you know. It's not that. There's no yellow brick road to heaven. There's no walking that needs to be done, as far as the physical exertion is concerned. Jesus says that he is the way. Now that might be a strange thing for us to try to think about. So let's kind of draw in a few things that we might know from our experiences, our memory, and so on, maybe TV. We know that we can ask the way to somewhere, and depending on our mode of transportation, okay, we will hear it differently. If we're walking, we'll maybe think, well, I've got to walk this way and then through that way and so on. Got to avoid that road, got to avoid that area. If we're taking a car, you think, oh, I've got to go to the freeway, so on and so forth. Yes, it's a different kind of a transaction that's going on, or thought that's going on in your mind, depending on the mode of transportation. I think in Star Trek, okay, the way to a planet is to get beamed down, isn't it? Beamed up and beamed down. Okay, they wouldn't, in that, if that could ever be done. But they're not thinking about, driving there. They're just thinking of beaming down, do you see? These are different ways. Well, Jesus is the way, the only way, to the Father's house, to the kingdom of heaven. He's the only way. And so, they do know the way. It's true, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. I mean, if you give us a map of how to get there, we probably couldn't get there anyway, because we'd drop down dead before we could make it. But the thing is, they don't have to do any of that. You and I don't have to do that, because we know Jesus, and Jesus is the way. He's also the mode of transportation. Can I put it that way? Jesus is going to make sure that what seems impossible for us to get from this physical locality to another physical locality. Don't think that there's heaven isn't physical. Of course it is. To another physical locality, we don't need to figure that out. All we need to know is Jesus. And if we know Jesus, it's all done for us. We are VIPs, you know, everything's done for us. It's all laid on. And so we don't need to worry about the details. The details have been figured out by somebody else. Are you all right with that? Are you all right with not knowing, and you just rest in the fact that Jesus does know, and he's got it all sorted out for you? He's the way. We don't have to figure out another way. Why? Because he's also the truth. That's the second point here that he makes. He's the way, and he's also the truth. It's not just, again, let me emphasize here, it's not just that he is telling you the truth. And Jesus, you know, is a truthful kind of guy. He's an honest bloke. So he's going to tell you, you know, the truth, and you can just believe it, because he's, you know, he's never been known to be deceitful or bend the truth. That's not it. That's how we judge each other. Does this person tell the truth, or do they bend the truth a bit, or so on? I try to be a truthful person, okay? Most of the time I tell the truth. I say most of the time. When do I not tell the truth? Usually it's got to do with food. Okay? And a certain kind of food as well. But Even there, I struggle with telling the truth. Sometimes it has to be kind of, forced out of me. Okay, did you eat a chocolate? No? Did you do this? And sometimes I'm trying to think of an explanation instead of just saying yes. But that's me, that's probably you in certain areas of your life, but it's not Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't just tell the truth. He's not just a truthful, faithful person. Jesus embodies the truth. He embodies the truth. So here he says, believe in God, believe also in me. I would never say that. You would never say that as a God-fearing person. You wouldn't say, hey, you can believe in God and you can believe in me too. How would that sound? Is he saying that he's as honest as God? And you'd have very good reason not to believe anything else that proceeded out of my mouth. If I said that, Jesus says that. You believe in God, believe in me. God isn't just truthful, he is the truth. Truth exists because God exists. And truth exists because Jesus exists. This is it. This is what you need to grasp. The world is full of lies, parading around in truth's clothes, and ignoring Jesus. Especially, we're coming up to Easter, so you can imagine, USA Today, is that still going? Yeah. These rags, Time and the rest of them, the PBS, they're going to have these liberal, Bible scholars who are going to tell us that, Jesus was married, or the New Testament was made up by the Roman Catholic Church in the 3rd century. It's all nonsense, by the way. It's all absolute nonsense. It's easily refuted. And you can believe them if you want. Or you can believe this. You can believe the best preserved book in history. And that can be proved. You can believe these words that say, believe in God, believe also in me, and you can choose to believe. You can believe that he has gone to prepare a place. You can believe that he's coming back again. On whose authority? On his authority. Why should I believe his authority? Because he's God and because he's the truth. I am the way, the truth. Yes, the truth. Can you believe the truth? Yes. Okay, well, we're good then. Well, we're good. He's the way and he's the truth. Well, that's why you know he's the way. Have you believed in him? Do you believe in him now? Then you're good. It's by his grace, it's by his power, it's by his mercy, it's by his goodness that you're on the way and you'll arrive at your destination. What about when you get to your destination? What happens then? He is the life. And we've talked about this before. In my Father's house, there are many mansions or rooms or whatever you want to... I think about a mansion. Okay, and I like that translation. I prefer that translation because I think the reason it was chosen by the King James translators and others is because it puts across to us the grandeur, the wonder, because most of us don't live in mansions, of how wonderful God's provision for us will be. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. Because God, there's no partiality with God. The only thing that matters is, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way? Or do you think he's some kind of a bigot? Because that's what he would be called nowadays. Do you think he's intolerant? Intolerant of all of the other world religions? You might think that. You'd be right. Because he is. It's him and nothing else. That's part of what you have to believe. Nobody else claims to be the Son of God. Nobody else died for your sins. Nobody else rose again. Nobody else is coming again. Nobody else made promises like this. And he is the life, the way, the truth. You can hold on to it. It will sustain you forever. And because truth is living, because truth is personal, because truth is embodied in Jesus, he is also the life. We're coming up to Easter. What kind of life? The world will tell you that if Jesus did come down off the cross, it was because he was dragged down. People thought he was dead and he kind of staggered out of the tomb. And hey, guys, I'm alive again from the dead. Just like the worst drunkard you ever saw, you know, after he'd been beaten up after the worst night of his life. Thinking, hey, I'm here. Do you think that would be impressive? Jesus doesn't mean that. Jesus means full, glorified, resurrection life. The kind of life that actually cannot... Please understand what I'm going to say here. It can't really... Well, it doesn't belong here. That's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't belong here. A glorified heavenly being doesn't belong here, out of place in this world. This is a place of death. It's a place of decay. It's a place of corruption. It's a place of disease. It's a place of great and uncontrollable imperfection. Jesus' life is a glorified, resurrected life. And it represents in its power and in its presentation and preaching to us, it represents what God is going to do to you. It represents the life of heaven. And compared to Jesus' resurrected life, my life and your life right now as we are living it, we're hardly living it. It's hardly living at all. It's a little bit, it's a little spark of life. Thank you God for it, but it's not what God fully intended and it's not what's going to be provided. So in order for us to be in the home in heaven, the home in glory that we have, we also will be changed. It's not just that we go in there in our frailty, in our age, in our disease, in our pain, in our, you know, we still have operations that we need doing in heaven. It's not that. It's that we are utterly, utterly changed in a moment. Because we know the way, it's a person. We know the truth, it's a person. And we know the life, and it's the same person. All right, so he's got it. I think he's got it fairly well sorted out, hasn't he? It's all covered. If he's the way, if he's the truth, and if he's the life, what else do you need? Here's what you need. Faith. Faith, believe it. Believe it. If you're here today and you've been wandering around and you wonder, is there any point to your life, or is there a God, or is there any salvation for me? Is there any forgiveness for me? Is there anything that proves to me that God loves me and God's actually there? Yeah, these words. I mean, there's a lot more in this book. But these words are good enough. They come from Jesus to you. They come from the way to you. They come from the truth to you. And they come from the one who is life to you. He can speak life into you. He can give you eternal life. He promised it.
Thank you, Lord.
But you need to believe in him. No one. Gandhi? No. Buddha? No. Dalai Lama? No. All of the cool people that the world thinks are holy and great and fantastic and want to listen to? No. Jesus, who they don't want to listen to. No one comes to the Father but through Him. And that's truth too. And millions of people have experienced the reality of those words in the history of the world since He said them. And so will you. So will I. If you believe them. I believe them. You, many of you here, believe them, but maybe there are some here that haven't believed. Look at them again. Look at these words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say no one comes to the Father but through the church. You could keep coming to church, this church or any other church that you choose, and die and go to hell at the end of your life, because you haven't believed in Jesus. It's not about the church, it's about Jesus. Okay? The church is full of people that are saved and need saving and constantly need to be improved in their walk with God. A bunch of unglorified and very, very faulty sinners. That's what we are. We own it before God. We need salvation, and we've got salvation, and that's the only difference between us and the world of unbelief. But in the future, because we have Jesus, we also have the way, we have the truth, and we have the life. And you can too. No one comes to the Father. That means the Heavenly Father has given us a way. God has given us a way. So open your eyes, open your ears, and believe in the way. Lord, we don't even know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Okay, let me just correct your thinking there, Thomas. Okay, you're looking at this all wrong. I'm right here. And you've believed in me. And so it's all done for you. That's the proclamation of Jesus in this passage. That's why it's encouraging. And boy, is it encouraging. Whatever, you know, things are thrown at you in this life, whatever things you may happen to come across, your ups and your downs, we know, if we know Jesus, that unending, wonderful, loving glory lies ahead for us. Why? Because I say it? Because some cult leader made it up in the 19th century? No, because we believe that Jesus is who He says He is. That's enough. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would indeed impress by Your Holy Spirit the truths that are enunciated by Jesus here. It was indeed an encouragement. He had to face the cross in order to carry our sins and bear our sins, but He would rise again in glorious, victorious life. And that life is ours if we know Him. Lord, testify, we witness to You now that we believe that You are the way, the truth, and the life, the only way, truth, and life. And it's because we believe in You, not because of anything in ourselves, but because of who You are and because of Your grace, that we know that we will find our way to the Father's house. Thank you, in Jesus' name.